Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verses 4 through 10 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Back when Janice and I were dating 100 years ago, wasn't quite that long ago, I reached the point where I realized I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, and it was time to ask her to marry me, so I started shopping for a ring. Well, I had served as a summer youth minister in a church in Hepzibah, Georgia. I know there are at least a couple of folks in here that know where that is. And the minister of music in that church was part-time. His full-time job was a school teacher, but he didn't think two jobs were enough. He actually had a jewelry store as well. So his wife ran the jewelry store most of the time. But I remember in preparing and thinking about that, I'd known for years that furniture and jewelry have huge markups. No offense to anybody who sells either one. Just known that to be a fact for some time. Now, when it comes to furniture, I can tell a little bit, but when it comes to stones, I have no idea. Don't have a clue. I don't know how to. You could give me a loop to look through at the stone, and I still wouldn't know what I'm looking at. So to know that I knew somebody that was going to be honest with me about it was a good thing, was a great thing for me. So I went and talked with him. His name was Terry, and he explained to me about stones and what you're looking for, the color to the clarity and the cut or facets of the stone. And he started showing me some stones, and as I said before, I was a part-time summer youth minister, so I had a really large salary. Okay, maybe not. So Terry began to show me stones, and I told him what my price range was and that kind of thing, and he showed me a stone that was just over a quarter of a carat, but it was in the HI color range and the SI2 clarity. Now, that was over 29 years ago, so I don't remember all the details about it, but I do remember those things about it, and I remember him explaining to me why it was a good stone. That stone has been a precious stone to us for over 27 years of marriage and nearly 2 years of engagement. However, the stone almost got away from us when we were living in Marietta. Janice was doing one of those jobs that morning during Sunday school that everybody lines up to do and really wants to do. She was changing a diaper in the nursery. And in the process of doing that, right next to the changing table, there was a concrete block wall. Well, in the process of doing it, she hit her ring on that wall and didn't realize that the stone, the diamond, had come out until she got in the sanctuary. She was sitting in the sanctuary and realized the diamond had come out. So thankfully, praise the Lord, she went back into the nursery, and the woman who had taken over for her found that diamond on the changing table. So we took that stone and the ring to the jeweler that week, and the jeweler added a fourth prong to it to secure it and make sure that, you know, hopefully that wouldn't happen again. But even then, when picking that ring up, the jeweler commented on how nice a stone it was, the quality of the stone. It is a precious stone to us. For all of the precious stones that we could possibly have in this life, there is no greater stone, no more precious stone than Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to take a look at what Peter has to say about this precious stone, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the privilege of gathering once again to study your word, Lord. I thank you for each person here. God, I pray you'd work in our hearts right now. Help us to set aside anything that might hinder us from focusing on you and hearing from you this morning. God, work in our hearts. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, Lord, that you might increase. And may your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, first of all, I want you to see he is the stone of rejection. He is the stone of rejection. One thing that we always need to be reminded about as we have opportunity to witness to people that there are going to be people who don't want to hear about it, who don't want to hear us talk about Christ. But when they're rejecting us and us talking to them, ultimately they're rejecting him. Now, I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of times we don't want to talk to people, because I don't know anybody who likes rejection. If you do, I know a good counselor that will talk with you. I don't think any of us really like to be rejected. But the truth is, when they reject us talking to them about Christ, ultimately they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting him. Peter tells us right here that Christ was rejected by men, and especially in his day, rejected by the religious elite of the day. You would think the ones who would have studied prophecy, the ones who had studied the word of God that God had given them, would want to hear from Christ, but they were the very ones who were resisting him the most. And sadly today, many times, the people that are the hardest to witness to are people who grew up in the church, who rejected the church, but know a little bit about the Bible, or people who have been caught up in a false doctrine. Sometimes it's a lot easier to witness to somebody who sort of has a clean slate, who sort of hadn't followed a religion or been burned out by religion. The truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is not religion. He's a living, risen Savior. Christianity is not religion. It is a way of life. And it is the only way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. For those that reject Christ, he becomes a rock of offense, a stumbling block. Because they have rejected this stumbling block is their doom. They choose to be disobedient and deny that he is the Christ. And that very choice leads to their eternity separated from him in a literal hell. It's never been God's perfect will or his desire that anyone would perish apart from him. Yet if everyone got into the kingdom of heaven, that would absolutely not be consistent with what the Word of God says. The Word of God makes it clear there is a heaven and there is a hell. Folks, there is no in between. You're going to spend your eternity in one or the other. I pray that we have trusted in Christ so that our eternity is sealed in him and that we know that we'll spend our eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone must determine who they're going to follow. Everyone must decide what they're going to do about Christ. And let me tell you, to decide to do nothing about him is a decision. If you decide to do nothing about him, you are rejecting him in your life. He is the only way to forgiveness and eternal life. Now imagine for just a moment this morning that you were having gallbladder issues and you needed surgery for your gallbladder. Well, up here on stage, I have right here with me Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Glavin. Next to him on stage here, I have Bill Gates of Microsoft fame, one of the wealthiest men in the world. And right over here, I have this unknown but extremely well-educated and extremely gifted surgeon. Now, you have a gallbladder issue. Which one would you like to talk to this morning? I know, Bill Gates, because then you can get a good computer and you can look up your problems on the internet, right? It would make absolutely no sense to talk to either of these two guys. They might be able to help pay for your surgery, but the surgeon is the one who can do something for you. Folks, we turn to all sorts of places and get all sorts of junk when the one that we need to turn to is Jesus Christ. He is the one that we can find forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus made it very clear himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is not a vague verse at all. Jesus was not being unclear. Each of those these in that the way, the truth, and the life are definite articles in the Greek. He was being clear. No other way. No other truth. I am it. And I am life. Jesus Christ is the only way for us to have forgiveness. If you don't place your faith in Him, if you don't accept Him as your Savior and Lord, there is no way for you to spend your eternity in heaven. To argue differently from Scripture is to reject the truth and to choose man's opinion over God's truth. Many look at Christ as a good teacher, one that's given many valuable lessons in life. Gandhi, as a matter of fact, looked at the teachings of Jesus and said, oh, they're wonderful, He's great. But my problem with Christianity is Christians. You see, sometimes I'm afraid you and I become the stumbling block to others. Now understand, they're going to have to answer for that. They're going to have to answer for their rejection of Christ. They can't get there before Him and go, well, it was Dan's fault. If he had just lived a little better, I'd be a Christian. No, if you let me stand between you and God, I hate to say it, but guess who's closer to God? If I'm standing between you and God, I am. Anybody that says, well, I won't go to church because all the hypocrites there. Those hypocrites are standing closer to God than you are because they're keeping you from God. God and God alone, through Jesus Christ, that is the only way that we can have forgiveness and eternal life. And you and I as Christians, we need to be a light and an example to the world around us. We need to be honest with ourselves and make sure that we're living the way that we should. And if you're here this morning, and you would have to honestly admit that you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, don't waste another day. We're not promised anything. You don't know that when you leave this building that your life won't be required of you this very day. And there is no backing out on eternity. There's no holdover place. You're not going to get there and go, well, you know, if somebody just prays me out of here, if enough candles are lit for me, I'll get into heaven. Folks, that is absolutely bogus. That is not a chance going to happen. It is what you do with Jesus Christ right now that determines how you're going to spend your eternity. If you've not placed your faith in Him, ask His forgiveness and invite Him into your life. So we see that Jesus Christ is the stone of rejection or the stone of stumbling. Secondly, I want you to see the stone of salvation. The stone of salvation. He is the living stone. Though He was crucified and buried, He still walked out of the grave under His own power, and He became the living stone, proclaiming victory over death in the grave. He was rejected by men, but He is choice and precious in the sight of God. In verse 6, Peter quotes from Isaiah and reminds us that Christ is not only a choice stone, but He is the precious cornerstone. Now, if you've ever set out to build any kind of building or house or anything of that sort, you know that if you're going to build it, you've got to have a measuring point, a cornerstone, if you will, that you start from. All your measurements are going to happen from that. If they don't, things can get pretty messed up down the way. Peter tells us in verse 5 that we are living stones. Because of what Christ did for us, we've become living stones. We represent Him, and we're not to measure ourselves against others. Our measurement, our comparison is the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter if you're better than everybody else in here in the room at following the Word of God, because we're not your comparison. Jesus Christ is. And all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us don't meet up to His standards. It is only through His blood that we're forgiven. It's only through His blood that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. But here's the thing. Peter says we're being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. You are a royal priesthood in God's sight. He has chosen you to be a part of His kingdom. And because you are a part of His priesthood as a believer, you can enter into the Holy of Holies. You can have fellowship and communion with Him. You can talk to Him. You can listen to Him. I cannot remind you enough that prayer does not need to be a monologue. In other words, it doesn't need to be about you talking all the time. It needs to be a dialogue. It needs to be about you saying what you need to get off your heart, but it also needs to be about you being still and knowing that He is God and listening. Now, I got to tell you, I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice. And if you have, that's great. I believe God could do that. I think there's very clear evidence of that in Scripture. It just hadn't happened to me. That doesn't make your experience illegitimate in any way, but I will tell you this, there have been plenty of times where I know God has spoken. Where even though I didn't hear an audible voice, I did have a very clear sense of what God said. sees God. He can speak to us in any way He wants to. He may send you an email. Hadn't happened to me. But God does speak to us, and we must be willing to listen. And because we're a part of the royal priesthood, we can enter into the presence because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. When He tore that veil from top to bottom, now we can enter into God's presence. Before, under the old covenant, they needed a priest to do that for them. Now, because of what Christ did and under the new covenant, we have Christ as our high priest. And a holy of holies not made of hands, but a holy of holies made by God. And He is the one who stands and intercedes for us. Christ has provided my salvation. He has made me a living stone and promised me a place with Him for eternity. He is my rock and my stone of salvation. He is certain and sure, even when things around me are not. Folks, I know you've paid attention lately. Things are pretty crazy in the world around us right now. There's a couple of you in here that have been around longer than I have. I know in my years I've not seen things any crazier than they are in our country right now. But in spite of that, I still know who's on the throne. And I still know that I stand on solid rock, not because I'm good, but because He's great. And I know Him. He's my rock. And I can trust in that. And He says that you and I are precious. You and I are valuable in His sight. People collect all sorts of things. I remember it's been a number of years ago, seems like a long, long time ago, but there was a time when, anybody ever heard of Beanie Babies? Yeah, we get a chuckle out of that one, don't we? Yeah, there was a time when people were collecting Beanie Babies. I'm not picking on anybody here because we had a few of those, but I had a friend in our church. We were serving in Marietta at that time, and I had a friend in our church who, man, he just... hook, line, and sinker. He was caught into it. He was collecting every Beanie Baby that came out. And the hard-to-get ones, he had to have them. He had them. He literally showed me he had them in a Rubbermaid container in his closet. He pulled it out and showed me all these rare Beanie Babies that he had collected. I am not picking on him today when I say this, but I feel fairly certain that he could not even come close to getting the return on his money that he spent on those things then, if he even still has them now. I'll admit I'm not much of a collector of anything. I collect bills pretty good. I do that. I have plenty of bills that I have. But other than that, I'm not really a big collector. I do have a few case knives, but I couldn't call those collectors. They're things that I like. They're not necessarily things that other people would really want or desire. I have some logo golf balls. I collect some of those, and I have some that are hard to get. I've got a logo golf ball that has St. Andrews from Scotland on it. I have several logo golf balls with the Masters, and one in particular that says the Augusta National. Now, the one that makes that hard is you can go to the tournament and you can buy a golf ball that says Masters on it. The only reason I have one that says Augusta National on it is because when I worked there as a caddy, I could go into the pro shop and buy one. So I have one that says Augusta National with that logo on it instead of the Masters. That's a ball I wouldn't sell. I wouldn't even begin to think about selling. But for a lot of you in here, you'd say, so what? It's a golf ball. Wouldn't matter. It wouldn't mean anything to you. See, the thing about collectibles is they only mean something to people if they really want them. You know, the truth of the matter is, you and I aren't worth much at all. But our Creator said, you're more valuable to me than my son. You're more valuable to me than life itself. I'm willing to leave heaven and come to earth to die for you. That's how much I value you. That's what Christ says about us. We were valuable enough to Him that He was willing to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And He should be valuable enough to us for us to live for Him. If we truly appreciate what He's done for us, then we will live for Him. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. As Peter tells us, there was a time when you were not His people, but because of what Christ did for us, we have been made His people. We need to understand that God didn't have to do that. God did not. Do you understand that God did not have to send His Son to die for your sins, and He still would have been perfectly just? I don't think we get that. I think sometimes in our mindset, We think, well, I deserve this. I have news for all of us, myself included. What we deserve is hell. What we got is grace because of what Christ did for us. And here's the thing. I could not have even accepted Him if He had not chosen to forgive me, if He had not chosen to reveal Himself to me. Even the faith that I have is a gift from Him. He died while I was still a sinner. He pursued me even though I didn't deserve it so that I could claim Him as my Savior. I don't have to buy into the lies of Satan. I realize that God values me. I'm valuable in His eyes. I realize that He's chosen me to be a part of His royal priesthood. I'm not talking about being a pastor, folks. I'm talking about us being able to be in His presence. Us being able to spend time with Him. You may feel like you've been left out at times. You may feel like by society you've been rejected, that nobody wants you around. Let me tell you, I don't care what anybody else says. God says He wants you. And He loves you. And He paid the highest price for you. You are a living stone, and you can be a part of His royal priesthood by placing your faith in Him. Jesus died so that you might have eternal life, so that you might have forgiveness through Him and eternal life in Him. But finally, I want you to see that He is the stone of proclamation. Oftentimes in humility, we might say something like, well, I don't understand why God chose to save me. Can I say I don't understand why God allowed me to be born in the home that I was born in? I don't understand why God allowed me to be born in Georgia. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand. I don't understand why God allowed these things to happen in my life and why He put me in a Christian home. I don't understand because I could have been born anywhere. But God in His amazing grace and mercy allowed that to take place. And while I may not have all the answers as to why God revealed Himself to me, I do know, as Peter tells me, that He chose me so that I could proclaim His excellencies. You see, the reality is our purpose in life is to bring God glory. Our purpose in life is to lift Him up and glorify Him. See, I don't have to worry about getting out of church for a while. You don't want to get out in that anyway, so I'm going to go a while. You see, here's the thing. God did not create us to just sort of exist and float around. He is not some clockmaker that just set it in motion. Said, okay, just let it tick down. He created you on purpose with a purpose. And you and I are to bring Him glory. He's not a selfish God. He is a jealous God, and He deserves to be because of the fact that He created us. Do you realize that anything that you might worship other than Him is something He created or gave man the ability to make? I love the old story. We were talking about it in Sunday school this morning, the sort of joke about the fact that guy arguing with God, oh God, you're not so big, I can create stuff. God creates something for him, and then he says to the man, okay, now it's your turn. And the guy says, okay, give me some dirt. And God says, oh no, that's mine. You see, God created ex nihilo out of nothing. Nobody else can do that. Nobody. God created us for a purpose, and we are to bring Him glory. Sometimes, you know, we have good things happen in our life. Maybe we get a good deal on something. If there's a good deal going somewhere, I guarantee you we're going to want to tell somebody else about it, especially if other people have the opportunity to be a part of it. You know, and by the way, don't believe every good deal. If you're on Facebook, don't believe every good deal that people are saying. Yeah, if you do this, you'll get a brand new air conditioner. Don't buy into that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, we like to tell people when something good happens to us. I want to tell you about the greatest deal, the best bargain ever. I owed a tremendous debt that I couldn't even begin to pay. And Jesus Christ went to a cross and paid that debt for me. And He did it for you too. You know, He died in your place so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life. He took everything upon Himself, every bit of sin in your life that you ever committed and will commit. Because I got news for you, even after becoming a Christian, you're still going to sin. And that doesn't mean that because we have God's grace that we sin all the more, that grace may abound. Paul makes that very clear. But we are going to sin, and when we do, we can confess that, and he continues to forgive our sin. But he accomplished that for us. He paid the highest price so that we could be forgiven. My forgiveness cost Christ everything. But he was willing to do that for me. He was willing to die in my place so that I could be forgiven. Now, you know what he asked? He asked me to live for him. He asked me to live for him. That's what he asks. That sounds like a pretty good deal. I was going to hell. I was going to spend my eternity in a lake of fire, and Jesus took my place so that I wouldn't have to. And all I have to do is tell others about him. All I have to do is to bring him glory, to live for him. That's a pretty good deal. So Doug and Jeannie, I'm going to pick on y'all this morning, okay? Now, when y'all were dating, this is figurative, okay? This is not true of them, okay? I just want to be clear. All right, so when y'all were dating Jeannie, Doug was great. I mean, he brought you flowers all the time. He cooked gourmet meals for you, wrote sweet notes for you and all those. I know it's hard to imagine, but imagine that actually happened. And he just told you all the time how much he loved you and how he wanted to be with you for the rest of y'all's lives. But imagine, Jeannie, if he'd have gotten to that point and he'd have said, Jeannie, you know, I love you, but I, for all this to continue, I have one thing to ask. I don't want to ever be seen in public with you. Now, do you think Jeannie would have felt much love in that if Doug had said something like that? Now, I know the answer to that. The answer is absolutely not, no way. I know that would not fly. We treat Jesus exactly like that. We say, you're my everything. I need you in everything in my life, but I don't want to be seen in public with you. Oh, the words don't come out of our mouth, but they sure do come out in our actions. We get quiet. We don't want people to notice that we have a faith in him. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be any different. Somebody might think I'm some weirdo or something. The Word of God tells us we're strangers and aliens in this world. We need to be standing out for him, not in some ridiculous, obnoxious way, but just by the reality that we love him and we're going to live for him. Listen, you can wear a Christian t-shirt every day and still not live for him. You can turn your radio up loud with Christian music blaring and still not live for him. He's called us to live for him and to bring him glory. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that means everything that we do, everywhere we go, we're supposed to bring him glory. Today, if you happen to weather the storm and you make it out to eat lunch today, bring God glory in how you treat the people that wait on you today. Show them love and respect. They may be having the worst day ever. And if your food comes out cold, still be gracious. And if you do have to send something back, be kind about it. And understand that sometimes things just don't go right. And as Christians, we of anybody ought to know it's not about us. It's about him. Let's live our lives to bring him glory. This precious cornerstone, this chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who paid the highest price for us, let's bring him glory in what we do. So I want to ask you today, are you treating him as the chief cornerstone? Are you treating him as the one you measure yourself against as a Christian? Are you living for him? Are you constantly bringing yourself back to his standards, back to his measurement and saying, God, I want to measure up. I want to live the way you want me to live. Not in some sort of legalistic way, not in, oh, I've got to do this kind of way, but because of the grace of God and because of his amazing love for us, Lord, I want to live for you. But I want to say to you today, if you're here and you've never invited him into your life, you've never placed your faith in him, right now he is the stone of stumbling. He is the stone of rejection for you because you've rejected him. But it doesn't have to be that way. He will forgive you. He will give you eternal life if you're willing to ask his forgiveness and place your faith in him. But the decision is yours. If you haven't invited him into your life, don't miss this chance today. Ask God's forgiveness and place your faith in him. Listen, you may be walking with Christ and you may be right where God wants you to be, but you find yourself in a very difficult time. Maybe you just need to come and kneel at this altar and say, God, I'm sorry I've been trying to carry this. I need to let go of this and trust it to you. He is here for you. And even and sometimes especially in the midst of trial, God can be glorified when we look to him and walk with him. Let's work as believers to bring him glory, even in our hard times. Whatever you need to do to honor God right now during this time of invitation today, let him have his way in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your amazing, amazing grace. I thank you that you were willing to come and be rejected by man so that I wouldn't be rejected by you because of sin in my life. But you paid the price so that I could be forgiven. You paid the price so that I could know that I have eternal life in you. God, I pray for anyone here that doesn't know you. I pray right now they'd ask your forgiveness and trust in you. And God, I pray for each of us as believers that we'd seek to live for you and to be what you've called us to be. For anybody here, Lord, who's carrying a burden, Lord, give them the wisdom to trust it to you. Whatever you need to do in our hearts and our lives right now, we give it to you, Lord. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen.